So this morning I'm doing a series called Lightening the Load. It's actually parts one and two. Part one will be this week, and then part two will be when I'm preaching on Father's Day. And I've titled this two-part series, Lightening the Load. Now, I don't know about you, but I know in my family that we can often feel overwhelmed with the busyness of life. I know that I felt at times that I'm not giving enough to my wife. I know that my wife sometimes feels inadequate in how much she's giving to her husband or to the family. And I think that we look at the 168 hours that we have during the week, and we often feel like we need more. How many of you relate to that? Raise your hand. Anybody? Oh, good. So I'm not the only one. And I know that when I look at the busyness of life, there are seasons that I think are going to be less busy, only to find out that they were just as busy as the season that I was already in. And so we want to be practical, and God's word is amazing in that regard because it is practical. And this morning we're going to be spending some time in the book of Ruth. And so I want you to just open your Bibles to that particular book. It's found close to the beginning of your Bibles. And if you've got a pew Bible, you've got an index there. You can take a look at the books of the Bible at the beginning. If you need to use that, you could also use your iPhone or your Android or whatever your app. There's a lot of good ones. And we're going to go into Luke chapter 2, actually, to start. We're going to do a little survey overview here of a few verses in the story. Now, the story of Ruth and her husband, eventually, at the end of the book, becomes her husband, his name is Boaz, is an amazing love story in the Bible. And Ruth and Boaz stand as a good example of how we're supposed to treat one another in the marriage relationship, both leading up to marriage and then also in the marriage relationship itself. I think there's a lot of great principles here. And so when I've looked at the book of Ruth and I was overviewing this, I thought there is a lot here that talks about the lightening of the load. There really is. There's a lot of it. And I was just beginning to take a look here in this passage, chapter 2, and it gets straight to the point here with Ruth. Ruth, by the way, is not a native to the land of Israel. And that's actually a big deal in the Bible because God made a special covenant relationship with this group of people called Israelites, the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And there were other peoples around them that that saw this, but they weren't included in that special relationship. And what happened was a lady by the name of Naomi and her husband went to a foreign land, a land called Edom. And the reason that they went to that foreign land was, or pardon me, Moab, sorry. And the reason that they went to that foreign land called Moab was that there was a famine where they were at. And so they had to leave. And so they left and they were able to survive. And Naomi's two daughters got married. And they ended up not having any children, but they were married. And then bad things happened. And Naomi's husband passed away. And then her two sons passed away. So these two daughters, if I said daughters, I meant daughters-in-law. These two daughters-in-law were left. And what Naomi said to both of them was, you ladies can go back to your own families. You can go back there, and you can maybe remarry. And one of them did decide to go back, but another one said, no, I'm going to stay with you. See, at that point, Naomi had nothing. She was destitute. And Ruth said, your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. It's one of the more famous passages in the Old Testament. It's often read at weddings, actually. But it's the story of love first between a mother and daughter-in-law. And then they come back to where Naomi came from, and they're destitute. And we pick up the story in Ruth chapter 2, and I'd like to begin in verse 10. Look at verses 10 to 12. It says, actually, the story is that Ruth is trying to just scratch out a living by gleaning wheat and gleaning barley from the edges of the fields that were being harvested at that time. And it says that in verse 8, actually, Boaz says to Ruth, you will listen, my daughter, he says to her. He finds out who she is, what she's been up to, and he takes favor upon her. He says, do not go to glean in another field, okay? Don't go outside of my area where I own. He says, nor go from here, but stay close to my young women. You stay close to my people, okay? Because he's actually saw her, and he's heard about her, and he wants her to be protected. And he says, let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? See, she wouldn't have had any protection. So he's like, you want to be protected? You want to feel safe? I've told my men, the servants that I have, and the lady servants and the men servants, to treat you well. And when you're thirsty, go to the vessels, drink from what the young men have drawn. So you don't even need to worry about waiting in line or anything like that. I've told them, if you come by, they're to give you first service. So he's really taken her condition and thought, I've a lot of her, and he's honoring this lady. Well, why? It says in verse 10, then she fell on her face and bowed down to the ground and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I'm a foreigner? Like, I'm not even one of your people. Why would you take notice of me? You're rich, you're wealthy. Why would you even be concerned about me? And Boaz answered her and said to her, it has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. He says, you are an honorable woman, and I recognize that in you. And I believe that if we're going to lighten the load of those that we care about in our lives, and husbands to their wives, and even children to their moms, and even us to our parents, even as we see them get older, is we can honor her for her good qualities. I think that's important to do. I dropped my water. We can honor her for the good qualities that she has. Sometimes we take them for granted, don't we? I was thinking about this in my family. What kind of good qualities does my wife have? There's, a lot of them. But we've talked about the different relationship that we have as parents. The kids look to dad a little bit different than they look to mom. And one of the things that they do that mom fulfills, or mom's much better at this than dad is helping them when they're hurting. Dad's kind of the bit of the rougher guy, and mom's more of the gentle person. And I was thinking about that. As I looked at this, the Band-Aids. Is it Band-Aids here? How many of you, when you were a kid and you were hurting and you scraped yourself or got a cut, how many of you went running to your dad first and said, Dad, I hurt myself. Could you help me? It hurts. And dad said, what did dad say? Suck it up, right? Now, I've learned not to say that, but I still sometimes think it, right? As a matter of fact, my kids come to me and, especially my younger Ben, and they come and say, Dad, look, I got a bruise on my knee. And he's like, I didn't even feel it, Dad. I'm like, that's my son. Good boy. Way to go. Don't ever let him see you cry, right? So, but then, of course, if dad's not in the room, they're like, I hurt myself. It hurts, right? Do we need moms? Do we need those gentle words, those comforting words? Oh, yeah. And you think, well, that's stereotypical, Glenn. Yeah, I know. But if it's on a bell curve, most ladies are in there. And if it's on a bell curve with men, most of them are kind of in the middle there of the more suck it up type versus the more nurturing type. That's the way it works. But you know what? We need to honor that. Sometimes we take those traits and we see them as weak. They're not weak. You know, when I was in college, in my early 20s, if guys were ever having real issues, real problems with, relationship with girlfriends or whatever, often they would spill their guts to their friends that were girls, not to guys. Guys would be like, oh, okay, I don't know, dump her, I don't know, And meanwhile, the guys would be pouring their hearts out to their friend that's a girl. Well, why would they do that? Because the guy is like, well, I don't know. And the girl's like, oh, yeah, they're listening to your story, right? And Suzanne always gets frustrated with me sometimes. You know, we go out for, I go for lunch with my guy friends, and she goes, so what did you, she didn't ask what we all talked about, but if I say, well, this is going on, and they're like, so how are the kids doing? And I'm like, I don't know, forgot to ask, We talked about something else. Guys and girls typically operate differently, and it is a wonderful thing, because when I'm hurting, I want to have someone there that actually cares about how I'm hurting. And when I see moms and I see wives doing that, for moms that, for ladies that aren't moms yet, you've got that quality with your special one as well, because the fact of the matter is, when we look at the relationship between men and women and the way God's designed it, I think it works in balance and perfectly. And here we see with Ruth and Boaz. Boaz looks at this lady and says, you didn't have to do this. You didn't have to go and be a part of a people that weren't your people and make this God that was Naomi's God your God, but you chose to do that because you have great character. And he said, because you have great character, I'm going to honor you. Isn't this a great love story? When you read it in the book of Ruth and you go through this entire account, it's amazing. And I'm moved by that. So how can we honor our moms, our wives? How can we honor the special ones in our life? I think it takes some thought, doesn't it? And it takes some sacrifice. We're going to talk a little bit more about that later. Let's continue to move through the book of Ruth, because I think there's more application here. In verses 15 and 16, we read that Boaz doesn't just allow her to glean in his field, okay? Because he didn't have to. She was a foreigner. This was for the people of Israel, the commands to allow the poor to glean the edges of the field. It's found in the first five books of the Bible. In their law, in their Torah, they were told that you don't go right to the edge of a square field. You go around the corner and you leave some standing so that the poor people have something to eat, so that they will have a livelihood. They have to work for it, yes, but you leave the corners of your field for them. So Boaz could say, hey, let her use my field. She's not even one of the people of Israel. I've already shown her some deference. But he goes the extra mile. And in verses 15 and 16, it says this. And when she rose up, it says, to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her, rebuke her. Also, let some grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. So he's like, I want you to leave extra. I want you to leave more for her than would normally be the case. I want you to drop something. Oops, dropped another bundle of wheat. Oops, dropped another bundle. Oops, dropped another bundle. And even if she goes into the sheaves where she's not supposed to be, you go ahead and you let her. And we find out that when she comes in and says, look what I got for my day's work, her mother-in-law's like, I think Boaz really likes you, right? Because he helped lighten the load. Now, in my home, we have several of these. How many of you have these in your house? Anybody? Okay, so this is a rare sight, actually, in my house. An empty laundry basket, by the way. It's a rare sight. And if you ask my wife as to who does the laundry, she's going to say, I do. Right? No, she does. Sorry. She's giving me this look like, you don't do it. She's going to say, I do the laundry. My husband doesn't do it that much. And the reason, of course, is because I hate doing laundry. I absolutely detest it. My wife hates it just as much. So I'm speaking from the position of someone who's got some learning to do. That picture that you see is what the laundry basket usually looks like when I'm done with it. So how many times have you seen me do the laundry and you come home and you're like, I did the laundry, honey, and there's five of those lying around, right? How many of you hate putting laundry away? Anybody hate putting laundry away? And then you stuff it in the drawers, and then it's like, you have little pieces of it hanging out, and all your drawers are like half in, and they're like crammed, and you're like trying to shove it in the, anyways, that's me, right? Doing the laundry, lightening the load. There are so many chores to do. We've been talking to our kids as they get older that, you know what? You need to help out. And this morning we had, Ben and Sabrina made a pledge to Mom to help out more. And I think that means more to Mom than buying her some candies or something like that, or even chocolate, because it's helping her out. Lightening the load And sometimes we can say, well, I'm busy too, and I've got a lot going on too, and what about me? And men sometimes can think that way because we've got busy lives, and I'm going to talk about lightening the load for men in a few weeks because men have a lot going on as well. So I want to recognize that too. But sacrificing and lightening the load for someone and saying, how can I help? Now, we're not going to be perfect in this, because I'm speaking from someone who is not perfect on this. And I'm going to have my seasons where I become more selfish and haven't done this and haven't done that. But there are also times when I'm saying, hey, I'm going to take another stab at this. See, Boaz looks at Ruth and he says, I don't have to do this, but I want to do this for you. I could say, I've gone already the extra mile. I don't want to go the second extra mile. And yet he chooses to do that for her. And remember, this is because he has recognized the quality of her heart. And I think in the world that we live in today, we often get so distracted with busyness that we fail to spend the time that we really need to spend the most on the people who matter the most. Think of the person that means the most to you. They're the closest one to you that you often, and I know I often do this, take them for granted, right? So when Boaz looks at Ruth and he says, hey, how can I give her even more of a help? And he says to his servants, can you imagine what his servants would have thought? Imagine what they would have thought. Why are you doing this? It would have been a sacrifice to him. But he did it anyways. Lightening the load takes work. It's not easy. And there's more than just laundry, isn't there? There's a lot of other things in the household that need to get done. There's the vacuuming and the cooking and the grocery shopping and all that stuff. And then there's the taking kids, if you have children, to school events and practices and filling in for this. And then they get sick. And then somebody's got to juggle the work schedule to get off work. And it's very busy. And when we get busy, we often treat the people close to us poorly. And this is hard. Now, thought about this. Well, how does, if in a couple that has this issue, then how much harder is it for someone who's on their own? And that's the reality for a lot of folks. They're on their own. Mother's Days are hard for them because they're on their own. Father's Days are difficult for them because they're on their own. And we might look at them and say, well, how can we be a help? How can we lighten the load? Now, we're not going to just swoop into someone else's life and start doing their laundry for them. But what things can we do to lighten the load for someone who deserves it and who needs it? Have you ever thought about that even on your street? How about in the wintertime when you see someone who's not able to maybe shovel their walk or their driveway and you're able to do it, or your kids are able to do it? You might say, hey, you know what? Rather than just being concerned about, you know, for us it's 22 Rick Boychuk Bay, why don't we be concerned about the neighbor? When we come to church and we see the needs for people, why don't we jump in and help out? Not in a way that's not welcome, you know, because sometimes we can be overly zealous. We need to be gentle and we need to be thoughtful in how we come across. But I think that that's an important principle or truth, isn't it? See, what we sometimes talk about on Mother's Day, Father's Day is like the stereotypical or the prototypical family of, you know, husband, wife, 2.5 kids, dog, and a cat, right? You know, like the nice little perfect family. But we don't have perfect families, do we? We have families that come in all shapes and sizes, and we're all in different stages and struggles. And the question that we should always be asking is, how can we be more like Jesus? How can we be more like the person he wants us to be? And in lightening the load for someone else, if I could use the example of that laundry basket and take that laundry basket and make it an empty laundry basket instead of a full laundry basket. And that takes everyone looking around and saying, how can I be a help? Lightening the load. Boaz had a great heart. He said, I'm not just going to go the extra mile. I'm going to go the second extra mile because this person is worth it. Let's continue on in the book of Ruth. In Ruth chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and then verses 22 and 23, we read, I've already read 8 and 9, talks about how Boaz already says to Ruth that I'm going to protect you. And I'm gonna say you're in my field, you glean in my protected area, and you're gonna be with my young women. It's all gonna be good. And then in verses 22 and 23, Naomi's talking to Ruth after she comes back from her day's work, and it says this: Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, and that people do not meet you in any other field." So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. And her mother recognized this, because in verse 20, she says that she said to Naomi, or to Ruth, she said, "Blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken kindness to the living and to the dead." And Naomi said to her, "The man is a relative of ours, one of our near kinsmen." And it's this story of love. Now I'm going to get into how that really works, how that actually works. This kinsman redeemer, the word redeemer is to buy back, it literally means. And Boaz is a kin of her deceased husband. And I'm going to talk about this in the last point that we're going to talk about this morning, the last truth we're going to examine this morning. But Ruth was clearly someone who deserved to be honored and cherished. She deserved to be honored and cherished because she had a godly heart. She didn't come from a godly family. She came from the Moabites. Moabite women, if you read in the book of, you know, Numbers, in the Old Testament first five books, you read that Moabite women weren't known for being moral. They were known for being immoral. And here's a woman who was in that people group, and yet she was the exact opposite of what you would expect. She deserved to be honored and cherished. And Boaz honored and cherished her. I believe Naomi did as well. I want to show you something that's very personal to me. It's a silver plated little box. It's got a heart on it. It says "Handle with Care" on it. And inside is a key that my wife, she wasn't yet my wife when she gave it to me, but she gave this to me during our period where we're heading towards marriage. Of course, it's the key to her heart, right? She had kept this for the person that she was going to marry. And when she gave this to me, "Handle with Care," I was quite moved, of course. Now, I didn't start blubbering. I was more of, you know, I was moved both in the sense that she would want to give this to me, and also with the responsibility that comes with it. One of the problems that we have in North American society is there is this cavalier attitude towards spreading your affections, romantic affections, just all over the place. The idea that no big deal, everybody does it, we're all human. God's standard for us is not there to restrict us because he doesn't care about us or because he's some sort of prude. He's giving us the standards because he knows what's best for us. Marriage is a big responsibility. And many of us look at the marriages that maybe we grew up with or what we see around us, and we go, "Ugh," you're like, "Is this even possible? Is this going to work? What about, you know, what about what happens when we get into a fight?" Remember the first time we got into a fight? I'm not sure if I remember it with my wife, but I did ask the question to my wife, "Oh, I can't wait till we get into our first fight." But she looked at me like I was crazy, and I was just thinking, well, I wanted to see whether we were compatible or not. You see, the compatibility issue for me was, well, if we don't fight well, because I knew fights were going to come, if we don't know how to forgive one another and treat one another with care, and in the moment when we have that fight, if we treat each other poorly and we excuse our behavior and we say things that are going to linger for the rest of our relationship because they're not dealt with, that's not handling that person with care. Boaz treated Ruth with great care. He recognized her as someone that he had a responsibility towards, and I'm going to talk about this in a minute, is really important. He actually had a responsibility toward her because her deceased husband was his kin. And according to God's word, he had a responsibility to care for this lady. And even though other people and other men would not do it, Boaz said, I'm going to do it. Handling something with care. Think of the most fragile stuff you have in your house, possessions that you have. I know this is kind of passe. A lot of people don't have it anymore, but how many people have fine china? Anybody? Raise your hands. Okay? So a few of us have fine china still. When do you break out the fine china? When your neighbors across the street come? When your brother shows up, you know, with his family? When just casual every... No, you put your fine china out at special times of the year. Where do you keep your fine china? Usually you keep it in a safe place. Some people had china cabinets in the old days. Most people don't have that today. I know when we were moving, you're like, okay, the plates, you pack them, but the fine china, you make sure those movers get that right. Because the fine china carries with it something that's valuable. And for us, the fine china is more valuable than even its monetary value because that set of china belonged to my wife's grandmother. And that china is beautiful, by the way. It's gorgeous. What's it called, sweetie? You forget. Well, there's a name to it. The blue something or other. It's got a blue rose, anyways. It's got some kind of name to it. And it's not easily replaced if you break a piece. Handling something with care demonstrates how much value you put on that. So the more care you put into handling something, the more value you put on it. Okay, let me give you another example. Guys, you're probably thinking, fine china, I don't relate to that at all. So new car, okay? All right. So when we got our new truck, it was gold and it was just, right? I mean, you know, you're like, you're going over it. You might be waxing it and washing it, and it got some tar on it, and you're making sure it looks just great because it's valuable to you. You're going to spend some time caring about this. Well, we often forget about the people that are the most valuable to treat them with the most care. How can you treat someone with care? How can you treat your wife? How can you treat the mother of your kids? How can you treat, even your own mother with care? How do you handle her? Is she precious to you? Is she valuable to you? Imagine what life would be like if she was gone. Imagine what that would be like. Boaz treated Ruth with care because she was worth it. She was valuable and worth it. And let me tell you, men, when you treat your wife, when you treat the mother of your kids with care, it says a lot about you. Because it tells you that you've got a good set of self-esteem. Or you've got a good self-esteem. See, if a man says, yeah, well, she's no good, and she's this, and she's that. You know what I say to those guys? I say, boy, you must suck. Because that's the best you can get. See, guys don't realize that when they say that about themselves. You're like, I'm with this lady. She's amazing. I love her. And you're like, I can't believe. And they're like, wow, you did really well to get somebody like that. The world that we live in tells us the opposite, to think of ourselves first. But when you think of someone else first, it actually boosts your own self-esteem about who you are because you're like, I can't believe this lady wants to be with me, but she does. It says a lot about me too. And when we put the care and attention into someone, and that, by the way, that's something that you handle daily, right? Is it easy to break fine china? Sure it is. Is it easy to put a scratch in your car if you're not being careful? Sure it is. And it leaves a scar, right? So we want to treat it carefully, not just in certain seasons, but we want to treat our spouse carefully. We want to treat our significant ladies in our life carefully. And ladies, this is also something just I would give as maybe a truth to you ladies. So an observation that I've had is if a guy doesn't treat you well during the dating season, if a person doesn't treat you carefully, believe in yourself that you're worth it. You're worth somebody treated you right. You're worth somebody treating you properly. If someone starts that path when you're in the dating season, then I would counsel to be careful about entering into something permanent. But if someone treats you well and you see them growing in that, I think that would be a good pattern and path. And by the way, why did Boaz treat Ruth this way? Do you know why he treated her this way? Because he first had a relationship that was strong with God. You see, other men would not do this because even though they knew what they were supposed to do, they didn't think they had to answer to God for it. Boaz saw his responsibility before God to do this and to treat her well. And because he had such a strong relationship with God, he was then able to treat this lady with the respect, care, honor that she deserved and that he expected of her, because he realized that he'd have to answer to her. And that's where I want to end this morning in the book of Ruth. Sacrificially give yourself for her. In chapter 3, verse 18, talk about this kinsman redeemer. I'm going to go into it a little bit more. It says this. I'm just going to read through the last little bit of the chapter of the book. Then she said, "Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day." Background to this was that she came to him, sat at his feet, making it clear that she would like it if he would take her and care for her according to the law of the Lord. Now here's the law of the Lord. Here's the kinsman redeemer part. So if a lady's husband passes away according to the Old Testament law, then it was up to the kin, the closest kin of that lady's husband or whoever passed, to take that lady into his household, to bring her into his house as his wife, to care for her, okay? But here's the sacrifice. Any kids you have, all the land goes to them, not to you and your kids. It's going to cost you a lot of money, because we want the line of that person who had passed away to continue. So you don't enrich yourself by grabbing a hold of that person's land. You don't enrich yourself because of the tragedy that happened to that family. You sacrificially give of yourself, and you marry this lady, and you bring this family up in the love of the Lord, and the Bible tells them to love your wives. And later on in the book of Ephesians, it says that we as Christians have an even higher bar, because it says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. It's like you sacrificially give all of yourself to your wife. Some people think, like, I don't know if I can handle a husband or a spouse or a wife who's really close to God, because they'll be closer to God and it's going to threaten my relationship with them. I want them for myself. And what I would argue is you will never have the security that you would have if you know that your spouse really loves the Lord first, because the reason that they love you and the reason that they're faithful to you and the reason that their heart is growing towards you is ultimately wrapped up in the fact that they have a relationship with the one who created all of you. And then you say, well, why am I faithful to my spouse? Well, it's not because she loves me, not even because I made a vow at my wedding only, although that's a huge one, but that's not the biggest reason. The reason is because God told me to. So no matter what happens, no matter what my spouse does, I'm not going to, even if they do all these things, because I have made a commitment to God first. That would cement you solid, right? And then there's security in the home. Now, Boaz looks at this lady and says, I have a responsibility to her. And he's already gone the extra mile, the second extra mile. He's already starting to sacrificially give to her. But what he's about to offer her in giving this, in being a kinsman redeemer, buying back and taking care of her, is going to make dropping a few sheaves of wheat and barley look like peanuts. It's going to look like peanuts in terms of monetary value, what it's going to cost him. So she's come to him. She's put herself in a vulnerable position. She's like, will you take care of me? And her mother's like, just sit still, my daughter. He's going to take care of it. So it says this in verse 1 of chapter 4. It says, now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down, and behold, the near kinsman of whom Boaz had spoken came by. Full stop. there was somebody that was actually related closer to her deceased husband than he was. So according to the law, he had to give this person, this man, the first opportunity to marry Ruth. I imagine this would have tore him up inside, because I think he was fully in love with the lady. He wanted to marry her. You know that she wanted to marry him, but according to God's law, the way it worked, this is over 3,000 years ago, remember, different culture, different time, he had to go to this nearest kinsman and say, do you want to take care of your responsibility? Do you want to marry this lady? And it says, so Boaz said, come aside, friend, sit down here. And he came down, aside and sat down. So he took 10 men of the elders of the city. So all leadership's there. They got to decide on the sit down here, so they sat down. And then he said to the near kinsman, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. And I thought, that was the one who passed away, and I thought to inform you, saying, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people. This buying it back, redeemer. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you. And he said, I will redeem it. Then Boaz said, on the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead on his inheritance. See, this guy's like, oh yeah, I'll buy it, no problem. And he's like, oh, by the way, but it comes with Naomi's daughter-in-law, Ruth, and you've got to buy it also from her. It wasn't just Naomi's deceased husband, Elimelech, that was the issue here. It was also his children. And the near kinsman said, whoa, hold it a second here. No, you didn't. Well, I'm kind of paraphrasing. I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem it. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself. I can't redeem it. You take care of it. It's going to cost me too much money. Don't think that would have been a very good marriage for Ruth. Do you think that would have been a good, happy marriage for Ruth? You've been like, he'd been like, I had to do it. Boaz is like, I want to do this, but I'm giving you first crack. And of course, he finds out how much it's going to cost him. There's a lot of men, you know, they're great during the dating, you know, I love you so much, and they're singing outside her, you know, window. And I had a friend of mine, actually, she was going on and on about this boyfriend who serenaded her when we were at college. And she's going on and on about the captain of the basketball team that serenaded her outside of her window when she was in her dorm. And, oh, it was so wonderful, and she was pursued, and then she dated him. And I said, I'd never do that for you. And she looks at me and goes, really? And I'm like, no, I would never do that for you. I said, I'd do that for you once we were engaged. I'd certainly do that for you once you're my wife. I'd even go further than that, but I'm not going to waste myself on the first date on doing that. I said, because that person views you as a prize to be won, and once they have you, they'll put you on the trophy case, and they'll leave you there. And lo and behold, the relationship lasted a few months, and then one day, she kind of brought him to, you know, to bear. She said, we have to sit down, we have to talk. You know, guys, whenever guys hear that dreaded phrase, we need to talk, they're like, oh no. And she's like, do you love me? And he looked at her across the booth that they were sitting at, and he said, no. And she was so devastated and upset. The guy's like, prize to be won, won the prize, move on. Felt great in the dating phase, didn't feel so good when they were getting serious. He's like, no, not interested. The reason I knew all that was because I was good friends with her brother. The lessons that we learn, right? As you're longer in your marriage with someone and relationship with someone, you should sacrifice yourself more for them, not less. You should not take them for granted. And I think that that principle of sacrificing ourselves for someone is we never fully arrive, because the standard is Jesus Christ loving us so much that he gave everything for us, and we're saying to ourselves, well, I'm not there yet. But it's a process. And the more we sacrifice ourselves for someone deliberately, not because we feel that, you know, they always deserve it or that they've always made us feel good, but because we want to please God, what a difference that makes. Boaz looks at this and says, this is going to cost me a lot, and I don't care. I'm going to sacrifice myself for this lady, and I'm going to do what God's told me to do, because this is in his word. This person's like, I won't follow God. And by the way, missed out on a massive opportunity, because God would choose this line to be the line of King David. So their kid, his name was Obed, who had a son named Jesse, who had a son named David, who eventually had a son named Jesus. Wow. In the line of the Messiah. And who's the other guy? History doesn't even know his name. There was another guy who passed up on it. See, you'll never outgive God. You can sacrificially give everything, and God's like, don't worry. Whatever you give, more will come back to you. If you sacrificially give yourself for your wife, for those of you that are married, if you sacrificially give yourself for that special lady, if you sacrificially give yourself for a lady who's on her own, God will reward you more than you ever could possibly imagine. And we do so because of the heart of God. And I think if we do those things, we'll lighten the load for a lot of people. It's practical. It's eminently practical. I want to close with a video, and then we'll get to a song. And the video is to moms, and to married moms, to moms in every situation. And moms-to-be can watch this as well, because one day you'll fully relate, I think. God loves you. He values the work that you do, very much so. And we don't need to be Pinterest moms, okay? Well, I'm not a mom, but we don't need to be Pinterest. You don't need to be a Pinterest mom. You don't need to try to live up to some other ideal. You need to live the life that God's put in front of you, and we want to leave this to you as an encouragement, and then we'll close in song, and I just want to pray, and then we'll do that.